evening, everyone. Welcome to Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman with you tonight, along with Coach Fred Smith. Fredo, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. Good to see you back.
Yes, glad to be back. I know you've been a little busy with some Santa Heights hoops the last couple, week and a half.
Yeah, Pat and I have, we're going to have done six games in a week tomorrow. These doubleheaders are... They're interesting, you know. I don't know how we get away even to go to the restroom, you know. But
they keep you busy.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's been good to get basketball season going.
And a big one tomorrow is for the Milk Jug.
Yeah, and that's always a great game for both our men and their women. And it's a fun night, and hopefully the community will come out and see a nice sporting event before Thanksgiving.
Yep, so that'd be Siena Heights and Adrian College playing tomorrow. First game is what time?
It's 6 and 8 tomorrow.
6 and 8 tomorrow night. So, yeah, head on over to Siena Heights. You want to watch some local college basketball, get on over and check that out. But tonight here on Saint Sports Weekly, brought to you by Magic Fountain Auto Wash and Storage, as well as Siena Heights University, we're talking – a little bowling, as we've got head coach Charles Kane with us tonight. And Coach, good to have you on Saints Sports Weekly with us.
Hello, Jack. Thank you so very much. I'm excited to be here. Hi, Coach Smith.
Hey, how you doing, Charles?
I'm doing better than I deserve.
Better than you deserve. There you go. That's a good one. I like that. Well, it's, the season is underway. You got a couple matches under your belt. And how are things going? Because you're busy. You're both men and women's coach over there.
That is correct. Fortunately, we have a graduate assistant, Travis Marcus, who actually was on the show with us last year. He stayed on to continue his master's degree and to help me out.
That's nice, and to have a little bit of help that kind of can ease a little bit of probably your stress levels when you've got a couple things going on at the same time.
Sure, absolutely. Used to be we only had to worry about being on opposite sides of the bowling center, and now you have some tournaments where the men and women are actually in different centers in the same city. So since I can't be in three places at once, it's really nice to have Travis there to help me out.
Yeah, I can imagine it. Especially when you're at different venues, that's real tough to do.
Yes, sir. Very different than a lot of other.
Well, how are things going so far between men and women? I'm looking at the women's results. I got pulled up on my screen, and I see you took eighth at the first WAC, and then at the Cornerstone Classic, seventh there, and then sixth and third in the last couple. How are the men's side doing?
The men are doing really well. We, a week and a half ago, we competed in back-to-back events at our home house, Leatherway Recreation Center. We partnered with Adrian College for the first ever Black and Blue Bowling Weekend. And so we had our tournament on Friday, Adrian College's tournament on Saturday, and our guys finished second on day one and third on day two. So they've been bowling really well lately. Getting ready for our last event of the semester, which will be this weekend in Lansing at our Black Jamboree number 3.
Thanks. We got some phone difficulties here. Coach, you still there?
I sure am.
There you go. All right. We were losing you here for a minute, so I was just trying to make sure if I didn't need to call you right back. Well, so.
Hey, Coach, I also noticed, as we were going down the results, the women in the second WAC event finished fourth, which out of 12 teams isn't too bad. They didn't have, they didn't actually post the result. I had to go online and look. So it seems like there's been improvement with both programs in the last two or three events.
Oh, absolutely. Again, I have the benefit of having a very young team. We have two seniors on the men's side and one on the women's. So, being young, they're ready to compete in bowl. They just need to get the game under their belt and get that experience. And I think as the season moves on, we're going to continue to get better every time.
Yeah, that's a big thing, is just trying to get the – the improvement going on out there? Because that's one thing. It just, you know, it's as anything, it just takes a little practice and takes a little time out there on the lanes to get going to try to get better.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. We have 4 freshmen on the men's side, 5 freshmen on the girls' side. And to be perfectly candid, high school bowling in Michigan just doesn't prepare you for bowling at the college level.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny, Coach, I'm going to just interject a second. So I want to make sure I understand because, you know, we become, and I remember being an AD bothering you coaches all the time about our websites. I thought you mentioned that you actually had 2 events on the 12th and 13th? Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We had our first black and blue weekend.
Right.
We had our shoe invitational on Friday and the AC Open on Saturday.
Yeah, you might want to just check that because it only has black and blue and the results, I think, on the 12th. You just might want to, you know, I know Corey, I feel for him. I'm certain I want to call him out here trying to take care of 23-24 sports, and he doesn't have a GA right now. He's trying to hire one. So you might want to just check that out if you don't mind. But sounds like that is really cool that you guys partnered with Adrian to host both those events, and then teams can stay the weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The reason I did this is there's a lot of schools in our conference and around the area because they're religiously affiliated. They just can't compete on Sunday. So they're just unable to get a lot of 2-day events in that are on the weekend. So we felt by doing Friday, Saturday, schools like Cornerstone and Aquinas would be able to come in and compete, stay one night, get 2 tournaments in, and it would be a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, it does make it nice to be able to have that option and then to be able to partner with Adrian College. Since you're using the same house, to might as well utilize as much as you can to be able to bring those teams in. And it probably helps a little bit with bringing those teams in to say, look, we got back-to-back here. You know, we can make a nice little, Friday, Saturday out of it.
Oh, absolutely. We started a little bit later on Friday morning at around 10 o'clock so schools can come in on Friday morning and really only have to spend one night in a hotel. So that's going to save them on budget money. And I have to say, Darren Grewan, who's the proprietor at Runaway Rec and CZ's, he's the head coach at Adrian, but he's been an absolute pleasure to work with. He's done really good things for us at Siena.
Yeah, because he's a guy that definitely just wants to make sure the sport grows. So I don't think, you know, probably no animosity between the two because he just wants to make sure that that things are going well for the kids.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's a very healthy, competitive relationship. I get along with him really well. And, of course, any chance I can to finish ahead of Adrian, you know, I give him a little dig. And he does the same, but it's all in good nature.
Hey, Coach, who have been your, your best and surprise performers for both the men's and women's thus far this year?
Oh, on the men's side, two seniors, Ryan Reed, who graduated out of UMD Jesuit High School. He has made us 3 all-tournament teams in the 5 events we've competed in. He's been bowling really, really well. On the surprise side, one of our freshmen, Noah Capinelli, who was a member of last year's Detroit Bowling Dream Team, and come in and made a huge impact, you know, coming right out of high school into the college team. He's a two-handed bowler, a right hand, and it's been really good. On the women's side, I have a sophomore, Megan Helpman, out of Bedford. She's made 1 all-tournament team and just missed out on a couple of others. So she's kind of been my stalwart this year. And then on our surprise side is I have a young lady out of Swanton, Ohio, Hannah Patch, who has come in. While she hasn't made any all-tournament teams yet, she's averaging about 20, 30 pins higher than I actually anticipated, considering she really just doesn't have a whole lot of experience bowling on college bowling patterns.
You know, and as you said earlier, Coach, that there's a, you know, big difference where the the MHSAA and the high school really doesn't prepare them as much for the college bowling side. What are your main differences that when you speak to that for people that really aren't familiar with the sport and why it is different? What are some of the big differences and why is that difference out there?
That's a really good question. The first thing I would say is that a lot of people watching the sport or knowing a bit about it might think that the lane itself is our field of play. Our field of play is actually the lane oil that they put on the lane, the lane conditioner, and that's something you can't see. You have to be able to read your ball reaction and use a picture of a graph to kind of get an idea of how the pattern's going to play. When I was having a lot of experience bowling on the tougher conditions, because not every condition is the same. We bowl on stuff that a lot of the pros will not bowl, that don't bowl on, to make it challenging for the college team. So that's the biggest thing right there, is that not being able to see the pattern, because like if you're playing football and you're in snowy, rainy conditions, you know to take on and put on the longer cleats, you know, to give you a better traction. Well, in bowling, you don't see the pattern. So you just have to have instinct and experience in playing on those tougher patterns to be able to read what the ball's doing and interpret what you have to do to get the ball to the pocket.
Now
the second thing...
Oh, go ahead, sir.
No,
I just was wondering when you mentioned that, you know, does each house have their own different patterns, or is that something that's NAIA or, you know, D3, this is what our college bowling patterns are, and this is how we lay it out, but, you know, maybe each lane affects a little bit different because of what's already there on it, or do you say this is a standard, everybody gets the same, or does each house change it up?
Well, each bowling center will have their own typical, what they call house shot, that the league bowlers will bowl on. As far as competitive bowling in the college world, the Wolverine Hoosier Conference has a set of 12 patterns that was developed by a company out in Florida called Kegel. And for our WAC tournaments, we coaches have to choose one of the 12 patterns to bowl on for the tournament. And then the NAIA and USBC, we have patterns that we have to choose from college bowling in general that were created, and at any tournament we have to use one of those. And it's really all about the ratio. I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but basically the ratio of oil between the inside of the lane and the outside is what determines how difficult the oil pattern is. On a house shot, you might have a ratio of 12, 15, 18 to 1. So if you throw the ball towards the gutter, there's less oil. The ball will hook back to the pocket. If you pull the ball in the middle of the lane, it's flooded, so the ball will skip to the pocket, and you have a lot more room. A sport condition is considered any ratio 4 to 1 or less.
Gotcha.
So when on a league shot, you might have 10 boards to hit to get the ball to the pocket. You know, on a one-to-one pattern at 40 feet, you have to hit a dime.
So, Coach, how's this for an analogy, all right? It's like, as a golfer, it'd be like going to a putting green, all right? And you know how we read the greens. You don't know what these greens are until you putt them. You understand what I'm saying? And if all the greens are the same, you have to then adjust to how your first, second putt go or your practice putts go. I think that's one way to do it. That is really, you did a great job of explaining all that. Let me ask you this.
That's a great analogy, Fred.
Yeah, see, you know, I'm good for something now. And, you know, I always say, Charles, now that I'm not the AD, I know everything.
Real quick on the golf note, I just want to congratulate you again on your hole-in-one.
Yeah, that was a high point of my summer, but thank you so much. Now, do they still do, on an average invitational or a league event, is it just how individual bowlers do, or do you do Baker games still, or tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the WAC Jamborees consist of four team games where you have five bowlers each bowling one game each, and then you total their five scores to get the result of that team game.
Okay.
So we'll have four of those, that'll be bowl 16 Baker games, where each bowler will bowl two frames.
Wow.
The first bowler will bowl frames one, six, then two and seven, three and eight. And once those five bowlers complete their two frames, then we get a Baker game score.
That is real.
And all 14 games and all 16 Baker games will be totaled with no handicap. And whoever knocks down the most pins wins.
That's truly a team sport there, isn't it, Coach? I mean, that is a unique way of doing it. Talk about the WAC this year. Who are the top teams? I mean, obviously your women finished fourth in one of them, and I think eighth and fourth, and your men were seventh and seventh out of 12 teams, right? Who are the top teams right now that we have to kind of hunt down or get up there to compete with?
On the men's side, you have Indiana Tech and Lawrence Tech. Indiana Tech so far this year, far and away, heads and shoulders above a lot of teams. In our last WAC, if I remember right, they were ahead of Lawrence Tech in second place by over 300 pins.
Wow.
Lawrence Tech is reloaded again. Concordia men are really, really good. So those are kind of the top three teams. Aquinas has had some good showings. Cornerstone has been really good. On the girls' side, Indiana Tech are the defending NAIA national champions. Last year was the first official bowling championship for the NAIA, and the Indiana Tech women won. I think they've won every WAC event this year. The Madonna girls are really good. And Lawrence Tech girls are strong.
So, Coach, how do you, I know after, hiring you and working with you a lot of years, but you can tell our audience, to qualify for the NAI National Championship, what is it our teams have to do? And then when you're done telling us that, talk a little bit about then the USBC championships and the differences between NAI and USBC, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind. Those are great questions. So within the NAIA, it's run similar to a lot of the other sports. There are six automatic qualifiers for bowling, and those are given to conference champions. And then there are six at-large bids with the executive committee, which I am fortunately a part of, will help determine who are the six schools that receive an at-large bid. And it's based on a percentage of schools that are participating in the sport at a varsity level. And so right now we have 12 schools that will get invited to the NAIA tournament. The WAC, right now, when we were at 12, because we had several affiliate schools, we got two bids. We got the tournament. The regular season champions got an automatic bid, and then our conference tournament champions got a bid. If it was the same school that won both, then our tournament runner-ups would get that second bid for the tournament.
Hey, Coach, who are the affiliate members with our 12 WAC schools?
Well, that's changed. Last year was Spring Arbor, Bethel, Indiana, Huntington, and Mount Vernon Nazarene. Mount Vernon Nazarene is now part of an Ohio conference that was formed last year. And because the Crossroads League had finally six member schools decide to add bowling for the 21-22 season, we lost Huntington and Bethel and Spring Arbor to the Crossroads League. So we're currently down to 10 schools in the WAC that have varsity bowling. Northwest Ohio and Rochester have not declared varsity bowling in the last couple of years.
So, Coach, they go directly as are under USBC, United States Collegiate Bowling. Is that correct?
That is correct. And to finish answering your question, the way postseason works within the USBC is that when you participate in certified USBC tournaments, you earn points based on the size of the field, where you finished, and how many teams you finished ahead of. So our last regular season event will be the middle of February in Indianapolis at the Hoosier Classic. And 3 days after that tournament, they will take the points each school has earned over the course of the season. And the top 80 men and women's teams will be invited to postseason, with 20 teams sent to one of four different sectional assignments, similar to basketball. So for bowling, they can either be sent to Ashland, Illinois in Stardust Bowl, USA Bowl in Plano, Texas, or Stratford, New Jersey. I don't remember the name of the center out there. And then there's Smyrna Bowling Center in Smyrna, Tennessee. So 20 schools will be sent to each sectional, and then the top four teams after that weekend, 16 teams in total, will make the NAIA National, will make the USBC National Championship Tournament.
There's a lot going on. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah. Well, again, this is Coach Charles Kane. We appreciate you coming in, Coach, and shedding a little light on your teams and also a little knowledge of college bowling. So we appreciate that very much. And we've got some interviews coming up with one of your current and former. So we're interested to talk a little bit more Saints bowling. But, again, we appreciate you coming by and giving us a little knowledge and good luck the rest of the way for both the men and women of the Saints bowling lanes.
Well, Jed, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it. And it's always good to talk to Coach Smith. Thank you all again, and I hope to talk to you all real soon.
All right, sounds good, Coach. Thank you very much. Once again, that's Coach Charles Kane, and yeah, he's the guy that basically, he was the first coach of the program, correct?
Yeah, yes, he was, and as you can tell, he's become a leader as he's on that big national committee,
right.
And he, you know, his background is, he's got a son that's a senior that's an outstanding bowler right now, and you know, it's been, it's kind of interesting, and I know we got to get to commercial, is they don't ever get to participate on campus, right?
Right.
So when you show up at the bowling center, those young men and women are so happy to see you.
Yeah.
And it is a crazy environment down there. So
that's fun.
Something to do. I hope people do look at the paper and our website and go down there and support the Saints and even the Bulldogs.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to take a time out. We're going to come back and talk with Kendall Heron, one of the young ladies on the Saints women's team. So we'll be back right here with more Saints Sports Weekly, brought to you by Siena Heights University and Magic Fountain Auto Wash and Storage, right here at 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Is space becoming a problem for you? You have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple-sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.sienaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about. Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.sienaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back to Saint Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman, along with Coach Fred Smith, here at 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. Once again, I want to thank Magic Fountain, Auto Wash, and Storage, along with Siena Heights University, for being sponsors of this program we can bring to you every week to talk a little bit about what's happening on campus at Siena Heights University. And we just got done talking with Coach Charles Kane, and now we bring in one of his bowlers on the ladies' team, Miss Kendall Heron from Tecumseh. Kendall, good to have you on with us.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, this is you're a senior, so you've been here a few years. How are things going for you this season?
They're not going too bad. I definitely feel like I've improved over the years, which is a good thing. So I'm ready to be done, but I'm excited for the rest of our season.
Well, one thing Coach talked about, Kendall, was, and you know, you come from a very storied program over at Tecumseh that's had a lot of history of really good high school bowling. But you know, he was really stressing the fact about the differences between the high school and college, in the lanes and the oil and how things are. And was that a pretty big adjustment for you?
It was a very big adjustment. My coach in high school did teach me a lot about surfacing equipment and that there were different oil patterns, but I never really had experience bowling on them until I got to college.
So how is it just difficult to pick up? And is that one thing, like, you know, some of your practice rounds and that, you really have got to read the lanes? And, I mean, do you have, you know, multiple balls for that, one for this conditions and, you know, one for those conditions? Is that kind of how you have to work things out too?
Oh, for sure. I have 7 different bowling balls that I use. I take 6 to each tournament, and I usually resurface them every oil pattern that we have, just because a lot of them are different when it comes to, like, the length of the pattern and the volume of oil and all that.
So there's a lot of science to it, more science than you think.
Oh, for sure.
I got Kendall, I got to tell you a funny story. This is Coach Smith. I was the athletic director for a long, long time at Siena, retired a couple years ago. But when we started bowling, and I didn't know much about it, but at the time, you know, to take Vans, we didn't realize that if you, let's say you put 12 bowlers in each van or 10 bowlers, but then you add the weight of six different ball that the, you know, it, we realized we couldn't do that. We had to go to buses because of the weight of the bowling balls. It was something I never thought about that you guys cart around so many balls. But listen, tell us, you know, what are you majoring in at Siena, Kendall?
I'm a major in criminal justice with a minor in social work.
Did, when you came to Siena, did you have, is that what, did you have an idea that's what you wanted to do, or did you discover that in your early years?
I came in as an education major. Wow. I was a double major in special ed and elementary ed, and I learned that teaching was not for me, so I changed my major twice.
Right. And so are you, you know, when are you scheduled to graduate, Kendall?
In May.
Oh, great. Good for you. So what, you know, and I know this is a big year for you to do it all, but have you thought much about after graduation what you'd like to do?
Right now I am in the process of applying at a bunch of different places. I already work at Maurice Spear Campus, which is the juvenile detention
right.
center. So right now I plan to stay there and possibly go full-time and look for other things as I'm there.
Well, I think it's great with the, you know, the criminal justice and then added the social work with it. That really kind of is probably a nice touch when on resumes to be able to look at that and kind of help your cause not just be, you know, one or the other. You've got a little bit of both that you can kind of, you know, take into consideration for hiring with some of these jobs.
Oh yeah, it's definitely helped me in the long run.
Kendall, do you did you commute from your home, or have you stayed on campus at Siena during your 4 years here?
I commuted all 4 years.
Okay, good, good. And I should know this, but I don't. Where did you guys bowl in Tecumseh in high school?
We bowled at Tenpin.
Tenpin. That's yeah. what, okay. So. You know, that again, you're talking, what, 6-8 mile drive from one alley to another. But how's it been? Have you made a number of friends in bowling? You know, when you commute, and I did that my last few years when I was at Adrian College years and years and years ago. But how did you get acclimated to campus being a commuter, and how's that been for you?
Most of the friends that I've made have been on the team, but of course, you have to find other friends because they're your teammates, but you need other people around you. So the rest of my friends really came from programs that I was involved in and then my courses. I just would do projects with other people, and then we would eventually become friends after that.
What, as Siena, what, you know, what do you like most about your experience at Siena?
I love the smaller class sizes. I like that we have more individual time with a professor if we need it, or, you know, time with our other classmates and help each other. And I think that it's a great support system for everyone.
And I think that even though you're a commuter and not on campus, it's still being so close, you still feel like you're still part of everything that's going on because of, you know, working with these other, you know, your classmates and that. You don't feel like you've missed out on anything because you're not living on campus?
For sure. I don't feel like I've missed out on anything. And I've always been involved on campus. So I feel like there's so many opportunities for me to be on campus that I'm just here all the time instead of at home.
And I think that's a great testimonial for so many people that really think that if I don't live at the school, I'm not going to have that same college experience. But you know, a testament to somebody that says if you're involved and you're doing things and you're on campus a lot, you really don't, you know, just because you're not sleeping there doesn't mean that you're not part of everything.
You're exactly right.
Because I think a lot of people think that this is what you have to do, but I really think it's a great thing that you've been able to navigate through all these, you know, classes and matches and everything, and still being able to stay at home and, you know, one, save a couple dollars, but at the same time, you're also, you know, you get to still be, you know, with family and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I've loved, you know, spending time with friends and my family at the same time. So.
Yeah, and it makes it nice that you probably have some friends come to your house that they can get a little home cooked and get a little bit of feel of a home as opposed to just being on a campus as well.
Oh, for sure. We do, every Sunday we do dinners at my mom's house. So.
Yeah, see,
I bring a couple friends and we all eat dinner together.
See, and that's great, and that's something that, you know, if you weren't part of that, that, you know, your teammates and your friends wouldn't get to experience that either. So it's nice to have something a little bit different compared to every, you know, everybody else that moves in and just stays on campus. So that's kind of cool. So, well, what are your goals for this year? Are you hoping to be able to have some personal and some team goals that you can share with us?
Ultimately, my goal is to make sectionals, which I think we can do it. We've had a pretty good season so far. We had a few bumps in the road, but, you know, that's normal. I guess a goal that I have for myself is just to keep a positive attitude and to make sure that I'm supporting my teammates as we're going.
Well, that's a great way to look at it because, you know, everybody has a different role on the team. And, you know, especially, you know, we talked a little bit with Coach, but, you know, the one thing about bowling, everybody thinks it's an individual, but it's one of those, you are an individual in it, but it really, it comes down to how the team goes. And so you're really a big part of a team. It's not just your individual scoring.
Right.
You know, one of the things, if you don't mind, I'm going to interject, and I know time's getting short. One of the things that I watch a lot of golf, and I should watch more bowling, but one of the things that, and there was a big women's tournament this weekend, and one of the things they all talk about is when they ask them these tough questions about how they're doing, what they're going to do, they always talk about staying in the moment and concentrating, not worrying about the end result, but just a shot-by-shot approach. How does that affect you when you have to do your own game plus those Baker games where you kind of rely on other people? So that's really interesting to me and how you differentiate that in your performance.
Coach really just tells us to focus on one frame at a time. So if we have a bad frame, we forget about it. We have to move on, right? There's more frames that we have to throw. So really just staying in the moment and focusing on that one frame. And one of our sayings that we have is fill your frame. If you can fill your frame, then you can be successful and your teammates will be successful behind you.
Boy, I like that. That's great.
Yeah, that's it is. It's a positive outlook that you have to have on that. And, you know, kind of really going frame by frame and not letting that frame that you just had affect your next one, because that's how games can go bad quickly.
You're exactly right.
Well, Kendall, we appreciate your time and good luck with the rest of this year and good luck in your future once you graduate, and hopefully the things that you've learned at Siena will take you far.
Thank you so much.
All right. Once again, that's Kendall Herron, one of the women bowlers here at Siena Heights University. So we're going to take a quick time out and talk with one alumni that's a former bowler here at Siena Heights, Keith Reed. We'll have him coming up next. Saints Sports Weekly brought to you by Magic Fountain Auto Wash and Storage and Siena Heights University. We'll be back with more right after this here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Is space becoming a problem for you? Do you have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple-sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena, a Catholic university. Located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman along with Coach Fred Smith. And it's a bowling night here tonight on 96.5 The Cave. And now we bring in, well, alumni. It's our alumni spotlight tonight. And we're bringing in Keith Reed, former Saints bowler. Keith, good to have you on with us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, you're just, last year was your senior year? You finished up?
Yeah, 2020. Graduated, and it's been an interesting year, that's for sure.
Well, now I hear from Coach you're up at U of M School of Dentistry, so good for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
That's wasn't probably the easiest program to get into, was it?
I wish I could say that. No, it's probably one of the hardest.
That's what I mean. It was that's probably tough. Was that your main one you'd wanted to get into?
Yeah, University of Michigan, definitely number one dental school. Wanted to get in, was playing and open, and prayers and dreams do come true, right?
There you go. Exactly. That's good for you. Good for you. But share a little bit about your experiences at Siena Heights, and what made those years fun for you?
Yeah, going undergrad at Siena Heights was probably the best decision I've made. Kind of just a home environment, family oriented environment, and I wouldn't have changed anything from my experience there. And being a part of the bowling team, and just having that team atmosphere and having people have your back, competing and being competitive, all the drives that, got me to where I am now, being at dental school, which is a profession that's very hard to get into, but you got to be competitive. And I really believe Siena Heights, they push us to be great. And they, instill in us a sense of, urgency and, being able to, come to anybody for help and, just to do the best that we can do.
Yeah, that's awesome that you have that. That's, one of the things I love about this, when doing this show and doing the Alumni Spotlight, is just listening and, all the different things that have made people who they are from Siena Heights, because it really runs the gamut. So it's always fun to hear interesting stories about that. Well, how did, Coach's question always is, how'd you get to Siena? What is the big thing about how did you kind of end up at Siena Heights, and what really brought you here?
Yeah. So when I was actually searching for undergrad schools, I was definitely looking for a school that could potentially give me a bowling scholarship and do something that I love to do, and be able to help me get through undergrad and, go further on in my education career. And Siena, I actually had a friend who went there, and she was also on the bowling team. Her name was Tanisha. And she actually, introduced me to the program, and it was just, from then on, I was like, I think I know exactly what school I'm going to. No other school gave me that home, friendly environment that I wanted. And, bowling was definitely a big part, but also, Siena has a great biology program, and definitely was able to, foster the things I needed to, go further. And here I am at dental school, so that's testament to that right there. When you're searching for schools, you definitely want to, be comfortable in the school that you end up picking, and Siena Heights was definitely that school that I felt comfy and at home.
Keith, this coach, Fred Smith, I was the AD there for a long, long time. You went to a great, great high school in University of Detroit High School. That had to help prepare you. It's a very rigorous academic school. It had to help prepare you early on, because when you're bowling for 4 or 5 months out of the academic year and studying, that had to be quite a juggling thing for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, the University of Jesuit definitely helped me with learning how to time manage as soon as possible and getting that under my belt as quickly as possible. Starting at Siena from coming from high school, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I don't, you know, college is, everybody's like, oh, college is college, you know, you gotta have fun, all this stuff. But, like, I knew from the moment I set foot there that I was going to be focused, and University of Jesuit helped me, even though I struggled in high school, I was able to succeed in college, if that makes sense. And I was able to, you know, find a passion about, you know, school, and find a passion about, you know, wanting to learn. And Sienna definitely gave that to me, and I was able to really do well in the bio program, which is not an easy program by any means, but it definitely shaped me.
You know, the other thing I noticed, just as I was digging back here a little bit, you were a doggone good bowler. I think I think 1 year you averaged 185. I mean, you talk about your career a little bit and the teams you were on.
Yeah. Well, bowling, you know, I never really understood, like, so what we have is called sport patterns. And, like, I never really understood, like, how different a lane condition can be. And, like, you know, that competitiveness in college, you know, bowling in these tournaments, I had never experienced anything like that in high school. So, I mean, it was definitely a big learning curve, but I wanted to, you know, prove to myself that I was capable of doing the things that I set out to do. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, I learned as much as I could about the sport and the game. And, you know, and now, like, I even coach on the side and help other young adults who want to bowl in college, you know, like, foster their skills and learn a little bit more about the game. And, you know, just, yeah, help them, like, achieve some dreams that they want to achieve. And, you know, career, it had its ups and downs, had some good tournaments, had some bad tournaments. Like, I mean, that's life, right? But you know, overall it was a great opportunity and a great, you know, experience to be able to be humbled by the entire thing, because, you know, you can't go into anything, you know, overconfident, because then you're gonna crash and burn. But My career overall, if I could sum it up in one word, was humbling.
You know, one thing I noticed on a little bit just looking at some of your bios is you were part of an African American group on campus that does a lot of good things called Men of Distinction.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit, if you could.
Men of Distinction, great organization, and I know we brought it back. Because I know we had it before, but it kind of, like, fizzled out, but we brought it back, I think my junior year, senior year, and it was just such a great organization, you know, empowering young, black, colored, anybody, adults, and, like, you know, showing that, you know, we're more than just a color of our skin, you know, and we can do great things, and we got to put our minds to it and work together. And, you know, great is the word I can say for that organization. It's such a great thing that we brought back to Siena, and, you know, just empowering the next generation and next groups of people that are coming through, next students, and just showing them that, like, you know, we can do anything. We put our minds together and think about things and work together.
Well, and it's a great thing to have on a campus.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of be able to pull some people together too that, you know, might not be, you know, you're on a bowling team, but might not be, you know, talking with guys on a track or basketball or football. And,
exactly.
But this organization like that, it kind of can pull everybody on campus together for one goal.
Exactly.
Well, that's awesome. Again, we appreciate your time here, Keith, and, glad you would stop by. And it really looks like that, you know, what you learned at Siena, both in the lanes and in the classroom, is making you a little bit better right now at U of M.
Yeah, it really is. It's making me more humble.
Yeah, I want to just chime in and say congratulations and best of luck to you. And
thank you.
And
so much.
Make sure that when you get back to campus, you stop in and say hi.
Of course.
Yeah, all right. And best of luck and keep working at it.
Thank you.
so much. I really appreciate everything, and thank you guys for having me on today.
Not a problem. We appreciate it. Thank you once again. That's Keith Reed from the bowling team on our alumni spotlight here with us tonight. But, we got a couple minutes left, Coach, and again, tomorrow is a pretty big game over at the Fieldhouse, basketball-wise, with men and women taking on Adrian College, and it's a great event to have when you get two schools right in town that, you know, they don't play each other a ton, but this is one of the sports that, you know, is definitely one that you can match up each other with, and it's always a great event, and, you know, this early preseason, and it's pretty meaningful for both schools. They go after it.
Well, yeah, it is, and as we've always talked about, Jeff, is that if Siena and Adrian were in the same league, the rivalry would be almost unbearable. You know what I'm saying? And because we compete in different conferences and different national affiliations, when we do play, it's just a great event to get us ready for other things. And this Adrian Siena event has gone, at least from the men's standpoint, since back in, I think, 77, and the women. And if, you know, our women have been very strong, this event wasn't held last year because of the pandemic. Both teams really limit themselves to conference games. But I think 2 years ago, the Bulldogs upset our ladies.
Yep.
And I think that tomorrow night will be just two hotly contested games, and I know the alums of both schools enjoy coming out, and its main thing is just a great night of basketball at the Fieldhouse.
Yeah, so come on out again at the women at 6 and the men are at 8, so if you get a chance to get over there, going to be some very good basketball being played at Siena Heights, and it's always fun, especially when you get those two schools on the court together at the same time. It's nice, that rivalry, as you said. It's you know, do the women have a traveling trophy they play for?
Yes, they do. It's a traveling trophy, and it's not been as colorful as a milk jug. And from what I understand, Coach Duffy and Coach Siljabek, you know, I've been out of this now. I thought they were developing another trophy because the milk can's been pretty beat up after 40-some years. But I'm really not sure. I know the women play for something too. But the main thing is this is a pride game, and that's what makes it fun, and it'll get them ready for their conference seasons.
Yeah, that's for sure. So again, head on over to the Fieldhouse tomorrow night for that one, and again, the Saints and Adrian College. But if you can't make it out, it'll be right here on 96.5 The Cave, as Fred, along with Pat Hayes, will be bringing you all the action for that. So once again, I appreciate Coach Charles Kane, also Kendall Heron and Keith Reed coming in tonight and talked a little bit about Siena Heights bowling. And we will be back next week right here, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.